and away we go here on this Wednesday, July the 3rd, 2019, Independence Day Eve, 17 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, hour number two, and we want to thank, how else do you say this? We want to thank President Trump for calling in for 15 minutes during hour number one. It was amusing and interesting, as it always is. Now, talking about amusing and interesting, as we get ready for the big 4th of July holiday, when you want to have a big guest, when you want to have a big day, when you want to have a big show, there's only one person you can go to. He is an iconic comedian, a legend among men, and every time he's on, it is always a great success with the audience, and beyond the audience, it's a great success with the staff at the station and myself, because it is a laugh-a-minute riot. He comes on at Christmas, he was on at Memorial Day, Easter, his birthday. It never gets old to hear from the comedian's comedian, the absolute best, batten down the hatches. Here we go with a take on Independence Day. I'm already laughing. Here he is, Shecky Green. Shecky!
Wait a minute, that wasn't about me. Whoever that is, I hope I go on before him.
No, you're the lead today.
Oh, my God, I've been the lead. There's no one in behind. I hope that you can enjoy my mind. I'll tell a few jokes and I'll sing a few songs. Okay, what else? Well, I tell you something, what did you say about Trump was on your show?
Well, yeah, he calls in from time to time. We have a great guy, Trump, who calls in and shares his thoughts with us.
Oh, a guy by the name of Trump.
Well, no, he does Donald Trump. His name is John D. Domenico.
Where did I hear that? I heard that name before.
Well, he's doing movies. He's the forefront, the most forefront Trump impersonator in the country right now. He's tremendous.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, he's
maybe I'll vote for him. Maybe we'll be in less trouble if we vote for him. At least he'll know what border to go to. Trump went to the Korean border instead of going to our border.
He did. What did you make of that? Somebody who was...
He'd rather be at a border that's cleaner.
Okay.
And you notice, every time Trump is with somebody, he touches them all over. He touches their back. He touches their shoulder. What is that? And then they say that he's one of those, what are the people that don't want to be touched?
Oh, germophobia.
Germophobia. Yeah. They say he's a germophobia, and yet he touches everybody. Take a look at every picture that he's with the Korean guy and everything. Of course, the Korean guy, he's feeling for the chopsticks.
You know, go ahead.
But I mean, it's unbelievable that I noticed that with Howie, what's the kid that's got that program?
Howie Mandel.
Make a Deal or something.
Howie Mandel.
Howie Mandel. He's another germophobia, and he's in that program touching everybody.
Well, you know, I just am so sad, because I'm sure these people could be cured if they were able to get a hold of your psychiatrist, Lewis.
Oh, well, one psychiatrist will sell him a sports, maybe a bowling ball or something. And the other guy will drop dead on a tennis court. The best one I loved was the guy with the pipe that kept on putting his thumb cleaning the pipe. In a Viennese accent, he says, "I would like to tell you something. Wait a minute. Did you love your mother and father?" I said, "Yeah, I loved them, but not as much as you love your pipe." You know. But then he went to Vienna. If you have any problems at all, call me in Vienna. I was climbing walls at the time.
Now, is he still over in Vienna?
Yeah, he's trying to explain about why we didn't use Nike, the Betsy Ross's flag. Can I tell you, in this country, we've got enough problems that all of a sudden, because of the flag, Betsy Ross, poor Betsy Ross, she cut herself 16 times with the needle making that flag. She went through all of that. Benjamin Franklin wanted John Adams?
John Adams,
or Hamilton?
No, Franklin wanted the turkey, and Adams and Jefferson.
Franklin wanted the turkey, and Adams wanted the American bird.
Yes, he did. The bald eagle.
Yeah. So we got that all on our mind, and with everything, and now they're fighting about that kid with the bushy hair. That's the basketball, the football player.
Kaepernick.
Yeah, I don't want to put him down or anything, but this is enough ridiculous. Let him stay out of flags and the politics. Let this world run nice. Let somebody go for a nice hot dog on the 4th of July. Let's be happy again. It's not let this country be great again. Let's be happy again.
You know, I read a statistic the other day that on the 4th of July alone, 150 million hot dogs are eaten.
Yeah, my wife bought half of them. I can't get into the bedroom. And in the other room, she's putting the buns. I got a wife who bought hot dogs. They're filling up the room. I got a wife that bought hot dogs. Zoom, 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 zoom. We'll have them on the 4th of July, and they'll be delicious, you see. And then I'll wait a full year for them to give another hot dog to me. Okay.
Do you have big plans tomorrow? It's your 93rd?
I really mean that she bought hot dogs and spare ribs.
Oh, that's your 93rd 4th of July.
My 93rd 4th of July. And could I tell you, evidently, I skipped one birthday because my body feels like 94.
Is there a big difference between 93 and 94?
Not really, if it goes fast. Like, I forgot about 92 already. Except I owed a few bills at the book joint. When I go broke at the book joint, I said to a guy next to me, "Did you win?" The guy says, "Yeah." "How much did you win?" $20. "Could you give me two?"
That's nice.
"When you pay it back?" "Oh, I come here every day." But I don't. I lie. I got guys waiting in line with a $2 bill waiting. You know, you always says.
You know, Shecky, I think about you a lot, and we like to check in every time. Did you ever find your car that you were in the accident in?
No, would you believe this? I found out later, much like us, I've got a whiplash in my neck. My bone keeps on moving, you know. It keeps making noise. And just as I get to sleep, I move my neck and my bone wakes me up. But my wife, I found out, that came to my wife, and she sold the car.
Oh, she sold it.
She never checked about the guy hitting me. She never checked if I got hurt, but she sold the car.
So they didn't just hijack the car and take it off.
Well, they really did, because I don't know who she sold it to. But what's funny, the car was worth maybe about $25,000. They gave her $13,000.
Oh, so a little downplay there.
I'm not going to get a new car, but I am going to get a new wife. Wait, I like that myself.
That's good. Now,
I tell you, the only time that I do anything humorous is when I'm with you. You got to travel with me. I go back to work.
Well, that's right. We'll have a good time. We'll go back up to Illinois where the mafia was.
Oh, my God. I had guys. Hey, I'll tell you the truth. You know what I mean? I got to tell you. Did I tell you the monkey story?
No.
I was working at a place called the Cuban Village. Cuban Village was once all those dancers with the people, and the people used to come and do the rumba. And then finally the boys took it back over, you know. And they hired like 25 girls to sit bee drinkers. You know, I didn't even know. I was so young, I didn't know what a bee drinker was. I haven't met the A drinkers yet, but let alone these girls. So, anyway, the guys used to come in, the hoodlums would sit. And I came in one day, and I put on a little knit cap. And I walked out, and I went, "Oh, this is my monkey. Take a look at my little monkey. Hey, Joseph, go get a nickel from that lady, Joseph. No, Joseph, don't run in the street. Giuseppe, you got killed by the car, my little Giuseppe." The next day, the guys were saying to me, "Hey, that's great that where you killed a monkey. We brought my wife in to see that. Will you kill the monkey again?" That's the kind of people I entertained. I never had anybody. If I sang the Star Spangled Banner, nobody stood up. They were all from Europe.
You know, Shecky, the last time we were running out...
I like that one, too.
No, that's good. We were running out of time last time, and I want to make sure to get back into this story, because when we were wrapping up last time, I asked you about Lou Walters and the Latin Quarter.
Yes.
And you said you had worked there, which was...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so tell people who Lou Walters was, what the Latin Quarter was, and what your experience was.
Well, Latin Quarter was one of the top... nightclubs in Tampa, but it was a tourist nightclub. They used to bring the busloads of people, you know, and the kind of places I was raised in, they were not tourist type of people, you know. I worked in towns where the town people came, but Lou Walters was Barbara Walters' father, and he had a little name in show business, you know, because he had that place, and he was a big gambler. Matter of fact, he lost it by gambling, by playing cards. But she, Barbara, was, I don't care what any human being thinks, was a magnificent lady, Barbara Walters. She was so good to her family. And anyway, when I went to work there, they had a Polynesian number in front of me, and the girls would dance, and the water came down from the top, you know, as a prop. And anyway, I would walk out on the stage, and I had to go to talk, and I'd go, hello, how are you? The water got in my throat, you know? All right, don't worry about it. So I finally went to them, and I said, this is a Jewish holiday, because we got the busloads, and they didn't know what I was doing. I told a Chinese joke once where the father says to his son, and the kid said, did you hear this before? Oh, anyway, they didn't understand my humor. Anyway, so I went to them and I said to Lou Walters, I said, Lou, do me a favor. I said, it's a Jewish holiday and everything. I can't work on a Jewish holiday. I got to quit. And I quit that place, the Latin Quarter. It wasn't for me. It was just for guys that had a set act, you know, A, B, C, D, E act.
Well, it's...
But, She was wonderful, Barbara.
Well, it's interesting.
I used to get mad every time, except that little girl Saturday Night Live that did her.
Oh, Gilda Radner.
Gilda Radner.
Yeah.
Of course, she was a little strange, too.
Well, this is kind of interesting because we have a little clip here. I believe this was 5 years ago. This is Barbara Walters talking about the Latin Quarter. So this is just a little insight into what she thought of her father and the Latin Quarter. Here we go, Barbara Walters.
My childhood. I guess... the word that comes to my mind is lonely, and I'm not sure why. My father was in show business. He owned and operated nightclubs. They were called the Latin Quarter. There was one in Boston, there was one in New York, there was one in Florida. So we moved around a lot. I went to three different high schools in my 4 years of high school. So as I look back, I think it was maybe a strange childhood. To other people, to have a father who owned a nightclub, hey, wasn't that great? But I wanted him to come home every night and not just Friday nights. I wanted him not to sleep until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I guess I wanted my father to be a dentist.
What kind of a little girl were you?
I was a very serious little girl. My father said I had an inferiority complex. He probably was right. I read all the time. I got lost in a book. To this day, I read a lot, and to this day, I think I'm a serious person. I don't smile enough. Even on camera, I'm told, smile more. So look, folks. Isn't that awful?
Tell me about the Latin Quarter.
The Latin Quarter. Well, the most famous Latin Quarter was on Broadway and 48th Street. It had a big line of chorus girls. They were not nude like Las Vegas, but they were pretty undressed. They did the can-can. If I have a glass of wine, I will sing the theme song. Otherwise, I will spare you. I won't spare you. I'm going to do it. I can see all over the country people turning off their television sets. Okay. So this is Gay Paris. Come on along with me. We're going out to see the Latin Quarter. Put on your old beret, we'll sing the Marseillaise, and put the wine away. like water. Chorus girls, bum, bum, bum.
What celebrities do you remember?
Do you remember that, Shecky?
No, I don't, but Barbara, my dear, the thing that I just heard, don't ever sing again. You were in the key of D, which is worse than C. Please don't sing again. Let me tell you about her father. She wanted her deaf father to be a dentist?
Yes, I guess.
Well, her father played cards all the time and lost millions, so he was a dentist. He would sit there and wait to pull the right card. To pull the right card. A dentist. It's a joke.
Oh, God.
Dear little Barbara, I never knew that you sang. There was no talent, too. No wonder you never worked for your dad. If you would have worked, it would have made him so sad. All right.
Now, was Lou, was he a nice man?
Lou had one eye. And the bad eye would always be looking the other way. So when you looked at Lou, you never knew which way he was looking. And I guess he was mad from losing all the time. He didn't have the sweetest personality.
Did you ever meet Mrs. Walters?
I met Mrs. Walters, who was a doll.
Now, she was a nice woman.
She was a lovely woman. And the daughter, they had her sister, Jackie, she wasn't well. But I used to treat very well because I loved her.
Well, it was an interesting thing, you know, and they just wrote this book, which I'm sure you've heard about, kind of bashing Barbara Walters lately.
Somebody wrote a book?
Yeah, they wrote a book on The View. It was called The Ladies Who Punch, and they all kind of talk about how mean she was and a taskmaster and all
this. Oh, that's because that was her show.
That was her show, that's right.
The people who were on it knocked her?
But yeah, they said she was difficult to be around and was bossy and that sort of thing.
Well, that was her job. She was the boss. Let me tell you, when you come to boss, you can have any personality you want. I mean, if I own something, I don't want to take anything from my help.
Well, that's true. But you know, Barbara has gone into retirement now. We don't see her anymore.
Well, Barbara's as old as I am, for God's sake. Barbara, I don't know whether Barbara can walk.
Don't know. I know she's still in New York.
I know she wrote one book where she made love with a senator.
She did.
That put a lot of people off of Barbara. But you know, that's very interesting. It's just, I would love to get that book.
Oh, the book's interesting because they all talk about how she fired him at one point or another, and she was.
But what's her name? Joy.
Behar.
Behar.
Yeah.
Does she knock her too?
Well, she doesn't really knock her that hard. A matter of fact, she says that she was Barbara's favorite.
Well, she was Barbara's what?
Favorite.
I didn't get that.
Of all the women, she was Barbara's favorite.
Oh, favorite?
Yes.
Because I called Barbara one day. I didn't like Joy Behar for something she did with me. Joy Behar should have said to the teacher. I had a funny teacher too. I think a little funnier than her. But Joy Behar doesn't. She doesn't thrill me. She also looks like my mother, which makes me very sad.
So you called Barbara?
So I called Barbara. Yes, I did, and I was shocked. They put me through to her, and we talked about Joy Behar. And I don't like this girl, and this girl, and so on, and so on. So she says, because Joy Behar was just getting off the show. She says she's not bad. She's not a bad kid. I said, I thought you and her didn't get along. Somebody told me that.
Well,
but anyway, she says she's not bad, and then Joy Behar was back on the show.
Well, I'll tell you, the big falling out in the book is when Rosie O'Donnell worked there, and apparently
you're talking about an insane human being. Well, let's face facts. Woman's insane. She may be talented or anything, but she's crazy.
Well, apparently she attacked Barbara Walters in the dressing room one day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Now get this.
That's the male side of her.
This is an interesting story for people who haven't read the book.
Wait a minute, let's get mine across first. Make the people understand what I mean. That was the male side of her.
You go ahead.
Well, she's a lesbian.
That's true, that's right.
Yeah, but not, she's on the male side. She's tough.
She's a strong woman.
I tell you the truth, I can't hate the box for her, you know what I mean? I don't want to pick on Joy Behar either. That type of women, okay.
Well, here's the story in kind of a little tin-type fashion. Apparently, Rosie O'Donnell went on The View one day and made fun of Donald Trump, and he got angry. And,
Oh, yes. Wait a minute. I'll take everything back about Rosie O'Donnell. She got mad at Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Rosie.
I guess Trump called Rosie some names like a fat pig and all these sort of things.
Yeah.
And Rosie got angry that Barbara did not defend her more. So she went to Barbara in the dressing room and asked her why she didn't defend her more, and said that Barbara's own daughter didn't like her. This is why your daughter doesn't like you. And there was a big falling out.
Well, that's because also Barbara was very friendly with Trump. They were very close.
Well, that's true, and you can't expect Barbara to defend Rosie. She'd defend herself.
Yeah, she could have. There's ways of defending people. Yeah, Rosie, I apologize for everything I said, and I'm glad you're tough.
So
next time we book 10 rounds, you and Trump.
You know what's unfortunate, though? You're exactly right. Here's Barbara Walters, up in age, and she's not doing anything anymore, and now they write a tell-all book about her when she can't be out there defending herself.
Well, you know, this book came out about her and the senator, that was kind of shocking. So she allowed that. I mean, this should not bother her at all. You know, that was a senator, a black senator. And that wasn't, you know... In those days, the news people didn't go like that, you know. I'm pumping right now because I really don't know how to put it.
No, well, we'll move on to another broadcasting legend here, because Larry King is still off of his show after becoming ill.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God that he's still off his show.
Well, he's not my kind of guy. Any man that says to me, I stink on television, and I heard you're good, I said, why didn't you ever come to see me? I mean, you had plenty of time to see me. But he says, you just stink on television. Told me point blank. I shouldn't do television because I stink.
Now,
you know,
where did he make...
I made a hell of a living for stinking.
Where did he get that idea?
Well, he was very close with Don Rickles. And Don Rickles, I had a lot to do with Don Rickles' career, but Don Rickles was sort of frightened of me. And after Don died, this is very strange. Don died last year. I went to see his daughter for the first time. I heard she does comedy. And her mother was in town and wanted me to come, Barbara. Jesus, everybody's Barbara today. I'm going to change my name. Barbara Green. Anyway, so I went and I said I will write some stuff for this little girl, you know, Mindy. That's Don Rickles' daughter. So they came and they said, oh, that would be wonderful. Anyway, I wrote some things and they were really great. And then all of a sudden I figured, they don't want anything to do with me. What am I doing? So then I realized, putting two and two together, I got six. I was good in telling jokes, but I wasn't good in mathematics. So after I got back down to four with two and two, I realized that they really didn't want me to do that. So that can only come from one thing, that was Rickles. Hey, listen, in this show business, this one hates that one, this one don't like this one, and then they kiss each other when they see each other. Oh, I haven't seen you in a lot of years. Where you been, Boris? My name's Tom. Oh, you're Tom! My God, it's Boris. It's Boris I hate.
Well, is there a lot of phoniness in show business?
Phoniness? Are you kidding? Well, sure, we're actors. You gotta be. Good evening, everybody. We love you. We want to say hello. I hope that you find this humorous. That's the way I go. Then you walk over to that audience.
Now, we wouldn't say that Ed Sullivan was a phony, would we?
You, Shecky, I want to tell you something. I know that you get in a lot of trouble, but you're all right with me. I'll never use you again. I'm rebooking Toto Gigio. I have to pay Toto less money than you. Hello, Toto.
Hello, Eddie. My Eddie. Could I kiss you, Eddie?
I want to tell you, Shaggy, you never wanted to kiss me.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, up in heaven.
You know, Senor Wences lived to be like 105 years old.
Oh, God, he was wonderful. God is as good as some people. And the puppet lived to be 200. The puppet is still in that box.
Why do you think Ed loved that puppet?
Because he could play with those acts. See, he couldn't play with the elephant. What is he going to do with the elephant? Hello there, big trunk. He certainly did a lot of stuff on the stage today, big trunk. You know.
Oh,
but
God.
But the little people, the Topo Gigio and the other one that he had, you know, and with the little girl with the lamb, he could talk to those people. Matter of fact, that was about the intelligence of Ed at that time.
So he only liked puppets.
Nobody ever knew that he had a string in his neck that they pulled before he went on. I'm terrible today.
Oh my God.
What?
Well, that's good. Oh, poor Ed. So he was not a phony.
No. Ed was not a phony. Ed, let me tell you, Ed was a character, and he was once a sports writer. He was never into a variety profession. I told you how he got that. Burl didn't show up at the Harvest Moon one day, so Burl said, use Ed, and Ed became an introducer ever since then.
You know, Shecky, there's something I've been always meaning to ask you, and we've never gotten to it. Did you ever have any run-ins with Walter Winchell?
Where did you find that out?
No, I didn't.
Not a run-in.
I didn't,
not at all.
I didn't know anything about it. I thought that's your era.
Well, Walter Winchell liked me.
Now explain
to
people.
Ladies and gentlemen, world of ships at sea. I'm talking to Shecky. Shecky, wait a minute, Edward. I mean, Walter, we're in the car. There's nobody here. Oh. He also, that there was an era of all of those guys had the same personality. You didn't know whether they liked you or whether they hate you, but they were important people at that time because they were in the newspaper, they were on radio, the television wasn't out yet. Once you got to see them in person, in television, then you see what type of person that was. So you had a different feeling about him. But Walter Winchell used to pick me up at night and take me in a squad car when they had like 310s. He was a... Shecky, there's a 310. Shecky, there's a 310. Oh, fast it talk. There's a 310. what's a 310? Forget about it. We're going to a 506. What's a 506? We're going back to a 310. So I never really talked to him much. I just got a lot of numbers. But if you ever want to know what a 903 is, or a 506... But no. He really liked me, and I never knew why.
Now, Shecky, because people don't know, but tell people who Walter was and how big he was.
Walter Winchell was one of the most important newspaper men of a, what kind of column would you call it?
Oh, it was kind of a gossip column.
A gossip column. I guess, but he was also into everything else. He was with the all of the actors and actresses. He was in the show business because he was originally in show business. He worked with Eddie Cantor. He worked with that kind of show. He sang. Imagine Walter singing. Walter, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, all the ships at sea. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and all the ships at sea. Today, you can hear on NBC Walter Winchell talking. Oh, what can I say? Ha ha. Anyway. He had the most important column. If you were in the Walter Winchell's column, just your name, you were either become a star the next day or you're over with. That's how big he was.
And if he wrote something bad about you, he could end your career.
Forget about it. You were finished.
Oh.
You were finished if he wrote something bad. And people just came in to see that one time when you were bad, you know.
Caught you on an off night.
You had all those people. You had a Hopper with the screen things and what's the other one? Hedda Hopper and the fat lady, Luella Parsons.
You know who
but
I like.
They never wrote like Walter Winchell.
Well, she's dead. Go ahead.
Walter Winchell was the biggest of them.
She's dead now, but a lady I used to have on the show a lot, and I liked her. She was very nice to me, was Liz Smith.
You know what? The only way I knew Liz Smith was by Kay Ballard. Kay Ballard and Liz Smith were, well, I don't know what to say. but they were very, very close. So I met Liz Smith one time. That's it.
Now, I got to ask you this, too, and I don't know if there's any connection here, but I had a guy on the show about 2 months ago who wrote a book on Dorothy Kilgallen. Now, do you remember Dorothy Kilgallen?
Well, I interviewed her 3 times on the Carson show.
Well, see, here we go. Now he told me that Dorothy Kilgallen was killed because of her information about JFK. What do you think about that?
About JFK.
Yeah, apparently she was friends with JFK, and she had some information. She was writing a book, and they say that she committed suicide, but this guy says she was murdered.
You know, I'm only in show business, so I didn't really get into that. I would have gone into the files before I talked to today if you would told me about that. But I'll tell you what, I interviewed her, and all we talked about was her magazine, The Cosmopolitan, and she talked about love a lot. She was not the prettiest of women. Matter of fact, she was even uglier than that. But she was a very lovely lady.
But she was on...
And for me, she was a good guest.
She was on What's My Line.
Yeah, she was on What's My Line for years. But they used to give me, on the Carson show, they'd give me all the guests that he didn't want to go with, you know?
So you got, like, the Kitty Carlisles.
I got Kitty Carlisle. I got Robert, what's his name, the kid that had the show on the train, the Western show, Bob, he did it with the other guy.
No, he was on a train.
We're always on a train. They had the thing on the train. It was Robert. This guy was from Chicago, so I knew him.
Now, Kitty Carlisle, I bet, was an interesting guest.
She was interesting, but it was the same thing every time she came on. You know, we talked about the same thing. About the women and things, and then whatever news she had, I can't quite remember, you know. She was good for me. Because she liked me. There were a lot of people that got on the show when they found out Carson was not on it, and I was going to MC, they weren't too happy. Matter of fact, one guy that was married to the woman that Mar-a-Lago, the post-toaster girl, what was her name? The actress.
She did a poster?
No. Post-toasties. That Mar-a-Lago was owned by the people that own post-toasties.
Oh, okay.
Mar-a-Lago, that Trump bought.
Oh, the...
But anyway, this woman was married to this actor that played... He played Kennedy in a movie about the boat. Well, you get that information, it'll give me a reason to talk to you again. But anyway, he came on, and I started talking to him about his planes. And he said, I didn't want to come on to talk to you. I came on to talk to Johnny Carson. Well, since this 16, 20 million were watching this, and I look like a putz.
Oh, that's terrible.
Am I right? I'm sitting there, like, asking him questions, and he says, I don't want to talk to you.
That's a terrible mess.
Yeah, and then I came home, and my wife said to me, I don't want to talk to you. I didn't know which one to go back to.
Did you ever have any run-ins with Gloria Vanderbilt?
Gloria Vanderbilt? No, I adored Gloria. Well, at the time, Gloria Vanderbilt was a little girl. You hear what I tell you? And I was a little boy. I read everything about Gloria Vanderbilt. My heart was torn when she went with the aunt.
Oh,
you hear
yes.
What I tell you? My heart was torn. And when she married the kind of guys that she married, what was in the orchestra leader? What the hell was his name? What was the musician's name that she married?
Gloria Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
Oh, let me look that up. I'll get it.
Toscanini, Toscanini. Anyway, my heart broke for those things. But I adored, she was beautiful, Gloria Vanderbilt. And I love her. I love her son, Anderson. I love him, too.
Good news, man.
He's just a nice... He's got a nice way about him. You know, that particular station got great people.
The CNN.
That's CNN, yeah. And I like the people on NBC, too. Matter of fact, today I like Today I like everybody and everybody I see. I even love you. You love me too. They're going to take me away as soon as they finish this.
This is good. This is good. Now, when we're talking, you were riding around in the cop car with Walter Winchell. Now, when you look back on that, now do you think, wow, I was a part of history?
I did that, and I never realized that. I mean, it was such a thing for me out of all the people. Nobody else, I guess, wanted to go with him. He wanted a delicatessen to get somebody, but they just told him to grab a number.
Well,
he grabbed number two, and the guy said, "We're closed. Get out of here."
Poor Walter. Poor Walter Winchell.
Poor Walter's gone. They're all gone anyway. Can I tell you, whether they're good or whether they're bad, they're all gone. I mean, you know what it is? It's a page in a book. That's what we've become in most of our business, a page in a book. Oh, look, this one didn't like this one, you know.
Oh, you know, Shecky last...
But Joy Behar and, well, I'm not too fond of her.
Joy. Now, what did Joy do?
Joy did a lot of things. Joy came in with one day at the Friars Club. They had, for Shecky Green, instead of having in the hotels where they had a dinner. They were honoring Shecky Green. So they brought her in. She was not even known. And she did her act. And she was wonderful. I saw her later on. I said, "Joy, I want to thank you for that time." I never did that. I never met you, and I never did. And exactly that voice. I never did that. And that's the kind of personality she's got. You know, I'm just sorry she married a Jewish guy to destroy. Anyway, I later on, years, just only about a year or so ago, they had some guy call me to do something. For Freddie Roman and some other kid from the Friars. So I didn't want to go. I said, "I'll come, but I won't do anything." He says, "Okay, good." So I went there. It was in a hotel. And guys got up and they talked, and then they wanted me to get up. And I said, "I'm not getting up." I told him. And Gilbert, whatever his name is, that little guy with the strange voice, he did dirty jokes in front of little kids. And I got up and I left. So then she says, "What was he born in a church?" Me.
Oh, Joy did.
Joy did. So I went and I got my baby picture, and I got a picture of two nuns, and I put it, and I sent it to her. Yes, I was.
So you're not a fan of The View, I take it?
No, I'm not a fan of Joy Behar.
No, not Joy Behar.
No, and you want to know something? We got some girls that got great sense of humor, and women, in my time in show business, a lot of them had great sense of humor, better than the guys. But I don't like a girl doing in one. I don't mind Kay Ballard, Lily Tomlin, who was sensational. She's not doing, you know, in one. Like what I'm getting at is the way men work.
Now, what did you make of Phyllis Diller?
Well, Phyllis Diller, was Phyllis Diller's joke for Phyllis Diller. I love Phyllis Diller. I told you this once, I saw Phyllis Diller in her first show and never thought she'd make it. She played a part, she took out a book where she was a model and she did some things on it. It was the two brothers that I don't like, Dickie and Tommy Smothers. Oh, you're finding a lot of people are fond of.
You don't like the Smothers Brothers.
No, Tommy I love, but Dickie is a moron. He's a hateful, no talented human being. I don't even think he could play that bass. He doesn't know it's supposed to be over the knee. It's not supposed to be upright.
So would he be on the list worse than Hervé Villegas?
Hey, what could tell you? The plane bus. What does that mean, little fella? The plane, boss.
Oh, God. So there were a lot of people in show business that were difficult to be around.
Oh, including myself. I looked in the mirror sometime and wouldn't talk to myself.
But
you know, you don't have to, that really happens to you. You know, you do a show and you get up and you say, I should have been better, you know.
So
I used to open up with a closing in case they didn't like me. You had to get off fast. Wait a minute, I like that. I used to open up with a close. That's good.
That's good.
What? Do you know you're the only one that can bring this out of me?
Oh, God, I hope so. This is good.
Let's record it.
Wait, they're all being recorded and preserved, and they'll be sent to the Smithsonian.
I knew him. We got a food star named after Smiths.
You used to ride around the cop car with him, right?
With Walter?
With the Smithsonian.
Oh, it's just, no, not with. But I'm going to tell you what. In the Smithsonian is a tie of Rodney Dangerfield.
His tie?
A tie, a red tie. That was his. I'll tell you the truth. That's my symbol. You know what I mean? Anyway, I gave him that tie for his birthday.
Oh, did you?
That became a thing with him.
Now, did you ever have any run-ins with Henny Youngman?
Oh, no. Who could run in with Henny unless you were driving your car? No. My God, no. Henny Youngman, let me tell you, I had a hip replaced. And Henny's woman, Henny Youngman's, I was in California. He came to California, was at the delicatessen, Nate and Els, and they told him that I was in the hospital, so he called me. He says, Shecky, how's your hip? Sadie died. His wife had died, so he got me before her. He says, how's your hip? Sadie died. He couldn't tell me Sadie died first and then ask me how my hip was. I was so important to him. How's your hip? Sadie died. Henry Youngman, one of the great stories is he got off a plane and a guy come from the curb come out. He's Mr. Youngman, I went to Cap. Could I take your case, his violin case? Hey, you take my violin case. Put it under the cab. I'll be there in a minute. And he went over, and the guy was a thief. He wasn't a cab driver. He just stole his violin.
Oh,
he went to the police. He said, I don't mind. He says, I had my money in there.
What about Jack Benny? Did you know Jack Benny?
Oh, I love Jack Benny. Jack Benny's, Shecky, I want to tell you, you do in an hour what I do in 20 years. I don't do that much material as you do in an hour. Now, cut that out. You're making me look like an old man.
What about...
And George Burns said, Shecky, I want to tell you that, Jack, you know, thinks you're funny. I think you're funny, too, sometimes.
When I think of a deep voice like that, I have to ask you about Lucille Ball. Did you know Lucille Ball?
Let me tell you about Lucille Ball. Lucille Ball came to see me. Now, let me tell you, I used to get panic attacks. I think I told you that. I'd get panic attacks so bad I couldn't work. I would get frightened to go on stage. One time at the Carson show, the black guy that helps us out, Bob, I think his name was, Bob grabbed me and threw me out on the stage. He said I would get out, that I had such a panic attack. But Lucille Ball came, and now Lucille Ball wanted me in her series. She wanted me to play a fighter. And I told her I was too heavy at that time, and she says, you're fighting to death. That's the trouble with you. Because she was tough. And I said, you want to know something? You're the only one that gets it. I am fighting to death. I don't want to do it. But I was fighting to death.
So she was like a truth serum.
A who?
She was the truth. She could get to people.
Yeah, she was mannish in her delivery, you know?
Yeah, a tough woman.
There was nothing. Lucille Ball became a comedian because of Red Skelton and all the things they did. You know, that wasn't the true Lucille Ball. Lucille Ball got in movies. She was young and gorgeous and beautiful and sexy. She wasn't a comedian. Later on, they made her the top comedian in the world. No, Carol Burnett is the only top comedian in the world.
It's interesting going down memory lane like this, and I cannot believe our time is up. We'll have to do it. Shecky, we'll have to do it again soon. It is always a pleasure to have you on. It is always the best time. My stomach always hurts from laughing when we're done.
Isn't that unbelievable? Could I sing goodbye?
Do, please do.
Goodbye to my Ohio friends, I'm gonna miss you till the next time it's true. Remember that you heard Shecky Green, who is a little Hebrew. But I could be anything you want if you need it, cause I love you so. I do this show for free, cause I don't get any dough. Okay.
The one and only Shecky Green. Happy 4th of July, Shecky.
Thank you, Scott. Goodbye, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye. Shecky Green, one of a kind. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Mechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawnscaping needs. Telephone number 740.